Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Like, have you guys been obsessed with the musician? That's some, really yeah. Obsessed with the...
I mean, not like no one's ever like made me want to like faint or anything like that. But like, I've had pockets of people that have taken over my world.
Ooh, like who?
Mariah Carey. I collected all of her albums when I was a kid. Her CDs is when I was, you know.
We knew what you meant. We know how old you are.
I mean her CDs specifically.
Yeah.
So it started with her.
Old enough for a CD. Yeah. Not young enough. Yeah.
For an iPod. I get it.
You know what I mean? Like it wasn't, you know, it kind of started to like hop around to other people. But Mariah Carey was the first one. I was like really
Did you ever go to her concert? Like did you ever go to...
I never saw her live. I never saw Mariah. The first person that I was like super into that I saw live was Christina Aguilera. I hopped from Mariah Carey over to, yeah. And she was a part of the TRL tour. And so I got to see her there.
So you got to see like a lot of people.
Yes. One of the biggest stars in the world now, you know, Beyonce was there with Destiny's Child. So it's cool to look back and be like, oh, I've seen Beyonce in concert, but you know, it wasn't that.
I mean, from that Destiny's era. Child was.
There was a moment where they sang "Dangerously in Love," and the other two left, like they weren't on stage, and it was and you can kind of see you saw the next like 20 years of
you saw she was like, I am the star, and these other people,
they're my backup singers, yes. My great, great, great backup dancers.
Do you think at that time, was Kelly Rowland being like, wait till I do my own debut album and she'll see?
I would like to think that everyone thought they were going to be in a group and then society forced them to choose a front man. That's what I want to believe. I like that.
But that's, the history of music tells us otherwise.
I mean, I know, but no,
Particularly then too, because it was like they had gone through, you know, the trio, it was their final form, but it was there was the first foursome and then the second foursome and then the trio, you know, so by this point, when I saw them, it already sort of seemed kind of clear that a transition was on the rise, you know?
Yeah. They knew Beyonce had one day would develop her opus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
No. Don't say surprise.
Well, that's actually
what a force of a transition. Good job.
Wow. That's interesting because I was just talking about, you know, obviously Beyonce.
And I'm not even gonna let you continue this as if this is a genuine...
Honestly, James, thank you. Thank you. Call it out.
Yeah, because
you don't think Beyonce has an opus?
All right. That's not what that's not what
we're gonna let you have it. We're gonna let you have it. Go with the bad transition. Keep going.
Okay. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt your thought, James. Please go ahead.
No.
You were talking about
I wasn't Beyonce. Talking about anything. I wasn't
the moment's
talking
gone anything. Now, John.
You're talking about Lemonade or
no.
I Do you think Lemonade is her opus or Homecoming?
Okay.
Okay, let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock, James III, Jerome Milligan. Dylan, what more can I say? You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Black actors, man.
Black actors.
All right.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood. Hollywood City.
Everything that is wet inside her body is expanding. Is that fair to say? Expanding?
Goodness. That's the quote.
That's the quote. Yeah.
That's the quote. Welcome, everyone. You may or may not know what this is. I think you do. This is a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. There are typically three of us that co-host this show, but once again, someone isn't here.
Well, he's out here. He's out. He's jumping in Hollywood. If he's doing anything.
He's out here jumping in Hollywood, but then he's going to come back and talk about how no one hires him. And he's
right.
Yeah.
There are that's nothing more true than it's, you know.
I wonder who we're talking about. Wow. I wonder who we're talking about.
But the person you're listening to right now, who honestly wouldn't be caught dead in the middle of a desert to listen to some white man's music. It's not me.
Yeah.
That's the voice of Jonathan Braylock.
Yeah. And I also certainly wouldn't have got on the plane. I would have never got on the bus. I never would have got on the whatever. This voice is James III.
And we do have a fantastic guest with us today in place of Jarrah Mill. Actually, not in place of this. She was going to be here no matter what. Okay.
Yes.
We honestly thought she was already on the show. And then when we realized she wasn't, we were like, oh, well, we're jerks.
Oh,
a little bit, but I'm glad we love accountability. Thank you. We love that.
But we are very glad she's here now. She's a very funny comedian, improviser, writer. She co-hosts a monthly a Black improv show here in Los Angeles, California. Her writing can be seen, featured in Sundance and Peacock, which is a network I'm currently working for as well.
Hello.
Let's go.
The Bird.
And it's a network that I'm currently watching right now.
Please give it up for Moni Oyedepo. I said it wrong.
Gosh, the applause is deafening. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Moni, thank you so much for being here. We are going to talk about Opus, the 2025 film starring Ayo Adibiri and John Malkovich. It came out this year. And it's now on HBO Max for your viewing pleasure.
Wow, it came out this year. Time is wild.
Yeah, this year, I mean, that's what happens.
Too much been going on this year. If this came out this year.
January 27th.
God. That's absurd. Wow.
It is about a young writer who is invited to a remote compound of a legendary pop star who mysteriously disappeared 30 years ago. This pop star is surrounded by a cult of sycophants and other journalists. And something's up, something's afoot, as we say. Now, look, I'm actually kind of surprised by this. Rotten Tomatoes score, 40%. 40% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh,
60% audience score. The film apparently cost only about $10 million to make, but it only grossed $2.2 million at the box office.
Damn.
Wait, it was in the theater?
It's an A24 film. Yeah, it was. For a very short time. Yeah. Nobody saw it. Nobody saw it in theaters. It debuted, because it was in a fair amount of theaters. It opened in 1,700 theaters, which is like not like the widest release, obviously, but a big enough release. And only made $1 million opening weekend, and then wound up only grossing roughly $2 million.
Yikes.
So, yeah. But it's now on HBO Max. I think people have a chance to view it. Obviously, Ayo is like a rising star, once again nominated for an Emmy. So yeah, what else is there to say, James? Is there anything else to say about this
Or I don't think so. Okay. I think you covered it.
Okay. And also for those who may be listening for the first time, we will eventually just kind of spoil everything. So if you want to watch it, go ahead and watch it. You can listen a little bit, and then eventually we're going to spoil stuff. So just heads up. All right. But yeah, let's get into initial thoughts. Moni, what did you think of Opus?
My opening thought is I really, really, really loved Io's hair.
Oh,
absolutely.
Especially,
absolutely. Mm-hmm.
The different wigs, the different looks, the fullness, the body, the wigs were wigging. And I love that for her because, you know, that's often a struggle for Black women on these projects where they are the minority in a cast. And I just want to say,
a great opening thought.
Yeah. Well done hair. Because I was mesmerized with her looks when I was sometimes confused with what I was watching. So
sure. Yeah. Well done hair and makeup crew. Well done.
And that's my only thought of the movie. That's my only thought.
They don't get enough shout outs. They don't get enough shout outs, you know? James, do you want me to go or do you want to go?
I guess I can go. I don't have much overarching to say. You know, I was invested. I thought like, oh, okay, there's a bit of a mystery here. Like, what's going on? Is there something going to kind of happen? When the stuff started to hit the fan, I think most specifically is when the movie started to become like not my cup of tea as much, and I don't know why. Like, I don't know if it was that I was feeling sort of like, it felt like something was missed when the shit started to hit the fan. It felt like I was still missing something. Even though for as kind of the build up was kind of there and the tension was kind of rising, it just felt like I was missing something when we finally kicked it up into gear. I ultimately liked the like twist at the end, the kind of like the twist of what it was ultimately about. And so for that, I appreciated it. So I ended up leaving the movie feeling a little bit better than I had been. But some of it, I don't know. It just didn't quite take it there for me is my general feeling about it. The music was fire. The music was, whoever they got to do this music, that was fire. I was in all the music.
Like John Malkovich's music?
Yes. I was like, okay, they figured out a way to do some music that like, that with John Malkovich, that's going to like, that I buy that this is like someone who, you know, used to make a bunch of hits and they had like one more kind of just like kind of like an okay album in the tank, you know? Like, I think I got one more in the chamber. You know, and this, you know, and I really appreciated that. I appreciated how authentic it felt, like versus it not quite feeling like it's real music, or it feeling more like a spoof than not, or something, or just not being good. I guess is the other option. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I appreciated that.
Sweet. Yeah, I also forgot to say the director and writer is Mark Anthony Green, who's it seems like this is a first time directing a feature and writing a feature. So it's interesting. I'm thrown a little bit because honestly, I watch a movie. I'm a horror fan. I like horror movies. I like thrillers. And so I initially wanted to see this back when it was in theaters, but it like kind of came and went so quick. I guess it made so little money. Like, they took it out of theaters like real quick. So I like didn't get a chance to like see it in theaters. And when it came on HBO, I was like, oh, great, we can look at this. And then I heard the reviews were middling. And then I watched it and I was like, yeah. I was like, it's good. Like, it's a fine thriller. And then I saw the reviews were like 40% of Rotten Tomatoes. And I was like, was it that bad? So I don't know. I feel like for me, like the movie was like, I think it was like just, it was very straightforward. Like, I wasn't surprised by anything in it. And that being said, I was like intrigued. Like, I didn't find it boring. I thought it was like interesting, and like some of the direction was like interesting. I mean, it did have like a very A24 feel. It's weird because it's like it's a bunch of different directors, but like somehow like the movies wind up, a lot of the movies wind up feeling very similar. And, you know, John Malkovich is a very interesting, like, obviously entertaining performer. And I was definitely doing her thing. And I, you know, enjoy watching her, like, star in a film. But yeah, I think, like, I don't know. I thought it was like a, I thought it was solid, if that makes sense. But I'm interested to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because I kind of don't know why people, I kind of don't know why people really don't like it.
Yeah, I don't know how you leave it being like, that was ass. Like, I don't know how you necessarily do that. Oh, man, that was ass. I'd be like, I can't, I can hear people saying that, but I'm like, why did you say that? Like, why is that the reaction you had to it?
Right. Well, okay. And I guess, like, the one thing that I do want to talk about when we're talking about this movie is, like, what exactly, like, what is it about? Because I guess, like, maybe that's, like, the big question. Yo. Like, what, like, what's the point? Not, like, what's the point? But, yeah, what's the point, right? Because it feels like it was, I felt like it was trying to make maybe some points, and I couldn't.
Did it feel like us to you, in a sense of, like, let's critique or dive in or explore celebrity worship or spectacle in some capacity?
Right. I mean, I definitely think it was I guess in a...
Right? Like, wasn't that the point of us,
in a
right?
sense, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was getting a little bit of Menu
Wait, maybe Nope?
I was getting a little bit of the Menu in there. And I was like, what? Okay.
Yes, the Menu. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, because so it starts out with... I think we start with Io, like, at her job, right? Her mm-hmm. characters, and she's pitching and she's doing this beautiful pitch. Oh, I guess, like, the first thing we see is people dancing, and I'm assuming they're dancing too.
Oh, like at a concert of his.
At a concert.
Like, in the glory days.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We just see ISO shots of people dancing right. in black. Yeah.
Yeah. Not even at a concert, but maybe at a concert.
Right.
And, like, the idea of this person is like Prince or, like, yeah. mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. Bono? Or it's not even Bono, because mm-hmm. I guess it's, absolutely. Like, a solo.
No, he was giving definitely Prince vibes with the costuming yeah. and the song titles.
Like David Bowie little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
100%.
And so, and then anyway, we get, I was just like, she seems to be giving this great pitch in her job, but then somebody else is going to write her story. So, okay. So she's like not getting to do the things she wants to do. And then we get this little scene with her. I don't even know if we can call him a boyfriend. It seems like a
No, it's clear. It was friend. He felt like a friend who was obviously friend zoned and he was not happy about that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. and that guy, that actor is on Beef. He's played the brother in Beef. He's very, very good on that show. If you ever, have you ever seen it? Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, what do you call it? Last of Us, this most recent season of Last of Us, too.
He's oh, yes. And he's on.
You said the Beef and I thought of the Bear. Sorry.
Oh, no. No, that's Io who's on the Bear. Yeah. Yeah. So that, I like that actor. And then he kind of gives like this, like, he basically lays into her in the guise of advice. And says, like, you know, you didn't grow up rich, you didn't grow up poor, like, basically, like, nothing about you is very interesting, and that's why nobody wants to hear what you have to say.
Woof. It's too honest. He was too honest. Nobody needs a friend that honest, okay? Nobody.
Yeah, well, also, because it was like, well, that, I literally, after he said all that, I was like, and the advice was, what exactly? Like, is this advice, or are you just...
Stop being average.
Yeah, you're just reading me. Like, what are you even saying?
Give up. Give up. Stop.
Hey, give up.
Stop doing it.
Stop hey, it. Sorry. Like, it wasn't like he was like, you're not vulnerable enough or, you know, whatever. He just was like, I don't know. Like, who cares what you have to say? Like, you haven't experienced anything in life and nobody cares.
He said, you're very mediocre, but I still have a crush on you. Why aren't you dating me? It's literally what he said.
Oh, my God.
But I will say in that scene that she did very clearly articulate, I think, like, her want, which was like, you know, I want to write, but, you know, I want to write so much that people want to know me, like, beyond my writing, which I think maybe people don't have that clear of a thought. They're like, I want to be a good writer. So I thought that was a very clear thing for her to say so early in the movie. So I actually appreciated that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. She wanted to be known through her writing. She wanted to be known. It's interesting how like kind of lines up. Anyway, so then all of a sudden we hear, hey, this big rock star is apparently going to make an appearance. Nobody's seen him for 30 years. Tony Hale plays his like agent or manager or something. Very silly, fun performance. And then it's like, hey, yeah, he's coming. He's going to, as he always does, select few people will get to hear his album before it's released. And she winds up getting picked as one of the journalists who gets to go. Nobody knows why. They're confused. I think it's now, weird let me that just tell you never, right here.
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm asking questions immediately. Why am I on this list?
Yeah.
I don't need to be on this
exactly.
list.
Exactly.
I don't need to be on this list.
It's very strange. And like, I feel like literally like in the scene where she gets the thing, we hear like off screen somebody say like, why her? Like we hear like that voiceover is said, but like it's never like she never asks it. Like we never see a conversation between her or her boss of like, why did this person choose you? Like, how do they know? How do they even know you? Like, what's that about?
Didn't the boss say like at some point on the journey, like, oh, I really thought it would have been somebody else. No, like outside the bus stop or something. Am I making that up?
Oh, maybe yeah. Right. There is a line like that, but I can't remember what in reference to when exactly.
Like, they weren't questioning it. They were just like, oh, this is surprising, but bring your ass on.
Yes, yes. I guess I was like, oh, you would think that, but I guess they're music journalists, but you would think that like journalists would be like, like right. really trying to figure out why, you know, what
absolute,
could it have been?
1,000%.
What did I write that he could have seen?
Yeah. Everybody's right. handpicked. It just doesn't. I have a question about this, and I would just be, and at the end, fasting forward to the end, where I think like the first thing in that final interview, he goes, the one question you're not asking, and it was like, yes, that's the question that it's a thing.
Yeah,
that's
it was
not,
so obvious.
It's so obvious, but it's never asked until the end.
Until the end, right? Which is why so. Not to jump ahead, but I was like, yeah, duh. Okay. Okay. So anyway, we get to, they're on the bus and we meet our characters. We have her boss. We have a guy that apparently he's had like a lot of beef with. Mm-hmm. His name was Bill, I think. We have,
the influencer lady,
Julia. Yes. Influencer lady. That is played by an actress named Stephanie Suganami. And then we have like two women. One was like an old lover, right? That's what.
Oh, the Oprah-esque type, the talk show lady?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then
the paparazzi lady.
Right. And so they're all going there. They like fly, don't they fly like on a jet? And then they get on the bus. Anyway, doesn't really matter.
Lots of modes of transportation. Lots of gas.
There's a lot of modes of transportation. They're getting to basically the middle of a desert where there are a bunch of groupies outside this compound, and they go in. And then we kind of very quickly learn that, like, okay, like he has a cult. He has a bunch of people there who are all dressed the same, and like it's very clearly a cult. And they take all their cell phones. And that I actually didn't think was very. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. I wouldn't necessarily question that.
Really? For an extended stay, it wasn't an overnight situation. Like they were.
Well, I didn't realize how long. Yeah, it was a really long time. But I was like, I kind of understand that. Though I would want put my cell phone in a pouch, and I'm keeping my cell phone. Mm. And I don't know where you're going with my cell phone. Like you can put it in a pouch, and I hold on to it. Anyway, yeah, and then they have like this weird dinner where everybody's like eating the same piece of bread.
Mm-mm. Oh, that was gross. I was like, after COVID, y'all,
The Foley they was doing on that, you just heard every sound. They just made sure you heard all the sounds. I was so mad.
I was like, why are they doing, like, why? Like, yeah. Go ahead.
I think it's because I think maybe after we get there, I think a part of me is like, okay, I think this man gets off on testing people's boundaries. And I think that's it was right. just like, how how far can I go before you finally say no? And I think to me, and right. you know, as you, as a former matchmaker who was really bad at her job, I've just learned that people often try to test boundaries earlier. And I felt like the communal bread was like a, are you going to do this kind of test to me? That's what I thought when I was watching it.
Got it. There also was like a little bit of like, maybe it was reminding me of Last Supper, you know, I don't know if they meant to, but yeah, yeah, that's a great point. Like he was testing their boundaries and, you know, it's interesting, like this kind of celebrity worship. We do live in like we do live in this world of celebrity worship and like, I guess I haven't been like super privy to the kinds of people who would just like, I would do anything a celebrity tells me to do just like for the chance of like being in their presence. But I know those people exist, you know? And then it was very like strange that we had like these journalists who like seemed to like get off on it. Like they were like, yeah.
But I think we all would, right? Isn't it part of like mob mentality? Like James, if Mariah Carey said, hey, eat a piece of this loaf of bread that 20 other people ate off of, you wouldn't take a baby bite.
I ain't eating it.
You wouldn't take a baby bite, James?
I'm not eating it.
I don't believe you.
Is there a time when I might have? I'm going to say maybe. I'm going to definitely say maybe. But I do think that now, nah, hell no. I ain't getting near that bread. I ain't getting near the bread.
Amazing. Okay. I'm trying to think what else, if there anything else weird happens at this dinner.
The little girl, we meet the little random little girl. And we're like, whose child is this? That's what I thought.
Oh, okay. Yes. Well, then there are a bunch of children there.
So many kids.
And I was like, I guess
one of her questions was on a notebook was just, where are the kids' parents?
I wondered.
It's never asked out loud. It's just one of the questions on her.
Amazing. Yeah, she's like supposed to be taking notes. And then she asked the guy like what happened, and he was just like, "Yeah, I just got a random call from him," and I was just like, "Great, I'm coming." Like I don't just.
Oh, no his question. Assistant person.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, so the next day she wakes up, she goes in, she realizes her laptop has also been taken. And so she's like, I don't like that. Then we see the audience, we see that they're being monitored. Everybody's being monitored on surveillance cameras that are in their room, which is obviously wrong. And then one of the guys is getting a massage and he clearly is attacked and we don't know exactly what happened, but it doesn't feel like it's
we hear a
good.
Drill and we're like, what?
Yeah, we hear a drill.
What? Yes, we hear a drill. Oh, man. This was crazy. It happened so soon. It happened so soon. I was like, oh. And I couldn't remember who that guy was. I was like, who is this? Oh, man. Oh, he was gone.
Thank you. I was confused.
I thought it was the boss.
Same.
I thought it was the boss. And then later on when I saw the boss, I was like, oh, I guess it was the guy that he said he had beef with. And then I was like, okay, it makes sense that he got, you know, killed first.
Yeah, that he
gets got first.
I couldn't
remember beef guy. Because do we meet beef guy before real? We never really met beef guy.
We see him so briefly.
On the bus,
we
like
see
randomly.
Him on the bus. And then I think we see him as she's leaving the table. We see him go over to John Malkovich and say, hey, I just wanted to say a sorry. And John Malkovich is like, oh, water under the bridge.
Right, right.
And like, that's it. We see like a very short exchange between them.
So I will say my one gripe is that we spent so much time getting to the compound, which I thought was gorgeous. I was like, where are we? I want to go travel here. But we spent so much time on the buses and the planes and the automobiles. And I love that we had gorgeous aerials. However, I didn't know this white man. So I forgot there were two white men. And I was like, wait, which?
Yes.
So I thought it was the boss. And I was like, no, does he have a twin? I was so confused.
Yeah. Yes.
And I was too. I was too.
Yeah. Dang.
You were not alone.
That's a shame.
But there were two white men. Yes. But yeah, they did not make a lot of effort into.
Well, they need representation, so I'm actually really glad that there were two white men because we need.
Yeah,
more
no,
of them
no, it's good. Sure. Two white men with beards, also two bearded white men.
Yeah,
because that was what was doing it. Yeah. What was doing it was the beard.
And there were there were two bald headed white men, you know, because
well, that's true.
Yeah, John Malkovich.
Yeah, they did do that.
That's so true.
But that was intentional. The two bald was intentional because it was like, oh, I want to look. You know that felt like it's like, oh,
yeah,
I'm trying
like
to be
my,
like
right.
Mm.
So it's interesting. It was like what's going on? And we reviewed the movie Blink Twice. Did you happen to see that, Moni? It was, okay, you probably not.
What was it about?
With Zoe Kravitz directed it.
It was Opus. Did you see Opus?
It was, no. It wasn't exactly this. It was like Channing Tatum is like some tech billionaire and like invites like women to go.
Is it a space movie, that one?
No. It was, no. I mean, it is kind of like Opus. Like he invites them to a private, their like his own private island. And then they're like there, they're having a good time. And then at some point she's like, I feel like things are weird. Like something weird is happening and I don't know what it is.
Okay, no, I have not. Okay.
Okay. Well, that movie, I think, it's interesting. That movie was very divisive. But I felt like that movie did a better, like that movie hit the ball a little bit. And you were like, you knew something was up, but you didn't quite understand what it was. And then eventually they reveal it and it's like messed up. But it's not, you didn't necessarily know. Whereas this movie, it was like, this is what you think it is. And then it was like, yeah, that's what it is.
And it is what you think it is. Yeah.
Yes.
Like it was just like, you think it's this?
Guess
just,
what? That's what it is.
That's what it is.
You think you're watching a cult movie? You are.
You're like, yeah, like all these people, they seem like they're in a cult. And it doesn't seem like, this doesn't seem safe. And it seems like maybe, I don't know, maybe these cult people are dangerous. And you're like, yeah, that's what it is. And there's nothing else to it. It's just, they're in it. That's what it is. Anyway. But we get this weird, I think, honestly, probably one of my favorite scenes in this movie is she wakes up the next morning. Oh, when she's going to bed, she looks outside and she sees that this, her concierge girl is just like so sitting creepy outside her door, staring at it, popping gum, which I also was like, why? I was like, why is she doing that? Because they're watching her in her room with cameras. Like, why are they also surveilling her with this person? But anyway.
Wait, sorry, do you think that was intentional? Because I was also very confused at first. I think I was looking away at this point, to be fair, and I was like, what is that sound? And then I looked up and I was like, oh, it's this random crazy lady outside blowing gum so aggressively loud that it's like, I'm telling you to look outside my door. It's almost as if like they're like, we want you to be scared, IO character.
Got it. And you know what? That tracks with what we know the ending to be. So maybe, yes, that is what it is. Like that was a part of the plan. Like part of the plan was
to make her nervous.
Make her nervous and suspicious so that she would ask questions, like even more so than the other people. And so, yeah, because she wakes up the next morning and she's like going to go for a jog and she's like, great. And the girl just follows her and then jogs with her. I thought that was really fun. Like I loved when she just started jogging, the other girl started jogging and then she stops and the other girl stops. And I was like, well, that's freaking creepy as hell. She's just trying to be creepy. And I guess she literally was trying to be creepy. Yeah. I mean, at this point, I don't know. I get, there's not much to say. Like it was, you know what I mean? Like it was just like, okay. Like, okay. I feel like the next time we get a scene where we're even like delving into something interesting is when she's asking him about this, what did they call it? The Levelist. That's what their cult's name is. Mm-hmm. He says that he didn't create it, even though we never hear who did. Then she was like, is there something that you guys all do? And he's like, yeah, there is actually something. And then they go in, they are like, there's like one guy like shucking oysters, looking for a pearl, but he's doing it like manically. And then he winds up stabbing himself in the hand.
Like very violently. Hated I was it. Like, babe,
very
you
violently.
You don't have to go that fast. You can slow down.
Why? We have to see the knife poking out.
Well, I knew we were going to.
It don't go through. But that's the thing. We don't have to see the full blade through the man's hand.
And then he still kept shucking. But it's,
yeah, he just wrapped it up and was like, all right. And then they were like, all right, we should let him get to it. We were distracting him. Like, it was their fault.
But then I was like, how rich is this cult where you're just shucking oysters out the ass and not even trying to, like, make oyster soup after the fact? I was like, this is so wasteful. Like, I just... This is like that's my brain point. I was like, wait, guys, you gotta eat these.
Well, he was the best-selling artist.
Yeah, and they're all
whatever.
Just living off of his money, I guess. Yeah. Interesting.
And he was about to drop another album. The money was about to be flowing. That's what it was about to be doing.
What did you think about the album? Like when they played it, I actually thought that the song was cool. But then I don't know. In my brain, I thought his secret was I was scared I wasn't gonna have another hit. That's why I held on to this album for 30 years. But they never really, did they address why he stopped making music for 30 years?
No, I mean, I assume, I assumed it was because he was developing this cult.
That takes time. That's fair. Okay. I thought he was having a Lauryn Hill moment. He was like, this is my one last masterpiece, maybe. Holding on to it.
I mean, we don't dive too much into their ideology, right? Like, I feel like he says some things. No. He says something about maybe we're not all equal. Like, there was a big thing of like, wait, was he was, and he said something about like everybody's used the left brain. And maybe we need to use the right brain. The right brain is the creative side.
Is that from the book? That's from the book.
That's essentially what the takeover is. Like, ultimately, like, the rise is the right brain dominance, essentially, is what they want. And I don't know. I was like, oh, this seems like something that would happen. He was like, first we started like this, and then we became left brain, and then now we do this. It's like, this feels like a crazy man's tirade. Like this feels like a direction somebody would. And I'm like, you know what? I think I support it. I think I support this. I think we should transition. I think we should transition to right brain.
What does that mean?
What it means is, Bray, is it means is everybody has the potential, okay? Everybody has the potential to be the pearl, but not everybody going to be the pearl. And then and if you access the right side of your brain more than the left side of your brain, then you have the chance of being the pearl, okay?
What is being the pearl?
Being the pearl, it's being the, you know, being the person that shines.
Babe,
brightest.
I don't know if you know what you're saying. Do you know what you're saying?
No, because it shines Malcolm. Brightest. Because I think then you'd be the one to shine brightest. Then,
for the listener, James's hands are just wildly.
Then when you shine
gesturing.
Brightest, you know what I'm saying? Then when you shine brightest, then you be the one. Then you be the one that's the pearl. That's the, out of the group.
For the listeners, James' eye is twitching.
I'm fine. I hear what you're saying, but I'm fine. And then that's where the legacy becomes.
All right. Well, that's our time. No.
Oh, wait, didn't they talk about like followers and leaders in that bit too? Wasn't there something about like following? Like if you use one side, you're following. If you tap into the other side, you can get. I don't remember what he said, but I remember my takeaway was like, oh, I think he's talking about manipulation.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, there was something in there.
I think that's what you were trying to say too, James. I'm pretty confident that's what you were saying.
Because that's what I said. I'm pretty sure I was talking about manipulation.
That's what you were saying. We're on the same page. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so there it is.
He's also talking about perfection at some point.
Yeah.
All right. And then, so then they know, they're like, oh, where's this missing guy? Oh, he's going to be joining us later on. Then they do this whole thing where they're listening to he starts playing one of the songs and he's dancing and, you know, being kind of sexual with them. But
very
funny
sexual.
Like,
what? He bit baby sexual. Girl over. He bit her over.
He's only being kind of sexual. Yeah.
Sorry.
With everybody. With
he
everybody,
he was being very sexual. I meant it was only kind of sexy.
I will say, if all the women actually really appreciated that he was most tasteful with Ayo, I think he just grabbed her hand and did a cute two-step and put her down, whereas he was very aggressive with everyone.
With everyone else,
including the guy. And then suddenly, the beautiful influencer girl starts choking, and they're like, oh, it must be the altitude, and they kind of carry her away.
No. And this is when I start asking more questions. Okay, because this is when I start asking more questions. Because I ain't gonna let the time dash that happens after this scene is wild. Because the amount of questions I'd be asking here, the way my bags would have been packed now, I just don't get how we get from her coffin to they've already finished a bottle of wine. No, thank you. No, thank you.
I mean, because Jane, you're still on like, you know, Princess compound, right? You're gonna just like, oh, that's okay. She's got allergies. You explain away your brain fills in a lot of gaps.
That was a dry. That cough was dry. That was a dry cough.
I would have been concerned for her, but I wouldn't have thought that meant something was wrong. Something was going on.
It was guttural because
It was also not
it
like
have it nothing did, it, wet to it. It was dry.
It was so weird. Like it happened. out of nowhere. It just felt like something was going on with her.
I thought everyone was going to cough because wasn't there like, oh my God, what's dust, smoke? Am I crazy? Right. What was sexy smoke?
Like mist.
I don't know words. Thank you.
Yeah, there was sexy mist. Smoke.
There was sexy smoke in the room when he was dancing.
Smoke machine.
I was like, thank you, a smoke machine. So I was like, oh, yeah. Is there something in the smoke machine? But it was only her coughing. I was like, oh, maybe she just has allergies because I've got allergies.
Right.
So I felt seen.
I thought too. I thought the same thing. I was like, she got some allergies. She's choking on something.
See, y'all, yeah. See,
somebody
nope,
said peanut allergy.
Nope.
Okay. And that nope. Also, that guy was like, that dude also, by the way, that dude literally as she's choking was just like, I don't know. Maybe she's got a peanut allergy. They all have allergies these days. And I was like, this woman is literally dying. What are you doing?
Yes. And if it were that a peanut so allergy, rude. It could be terrible. She could be dying. She could
she
be
could
dying.
Be dead. He was like, oh, it's probably a peanut allergy. I'm like, if it's a peanut allergy, she could die. She could go to anaphylactic shock. Like, she needs an EpiPen. Like, what? Why are you so calm about this?
I'm so happy with this allergy awareness. It brings me joy. As a person who's constantly carrying an inhaler and allergy pills, thank you for seeing people with allergies.
Yeah, and you're right. It cuts to them drinking, and they're like, we were going to invite you.
No
I was
way.
Just like, well, who? Furious. These people suck.
Yeah.
Which I guess you're supposed to like hate them. And she's like, don't you guys think that something really weird and creepy is going on? Oh, this was also after. No, they were walking and talking, and she's like, oh, can I do this other piece? I want to write about the Levelists. And he's like, she's like, it's obviously a cult, right? And he's like, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Boom, gets shot with an arrow.
Yeah.
Right. With an arrow, dog?
And it's like supposedly a kid did it. And it's like, why are kids shooting real arrows that can pierce human body?
They were like, they're doing archery. You know what I mean? They're doing archery. That's part of gym. That's part of gym class.
Yeah, I didn't buy. I mean, at first, I don't know. I will buy that the kid shot the arrow. A part of me is just like, to impale a whole human adult male. And that kid was, I don't know, all of 7. I was just like, there's no way that with all his might, it would actually impale him. So either it was intentional or someone's lying. And so it felt very intentional, accidental.
Yeah. And at this point, I was like,
this is crazy.
This is crazy. And y'all are y'all are crazy for not thinking this is weird. And they were like trying to gaslight her. I don't know why none of them thought any of this was weird at this point. That was wild. Also, how do you get shot with a bow and arrow and not go like, I'm leaving?
I'm going home. Yeah.
But then you also see him in his arm sling. And I'm like, babe, that pierced your chest. Like, did you that wasn't just your arm. Like, I was so confused.
Yeah. They had somebody say the line, looks like it's just his shoulder. Just in case, just in case where they placed it was too low. They were like, looks like it's his shoulder.
I think it grazed his heart. I'm pretty confident it grazed his heart.
That was his lung. He had a collapsed lung now at this point. A collapsed... That man is on his way out. I can't... Oh, man. I was furious. I was mad. Yeah. This one, I got mad. And then I was mad for the rest of the movie. This is the part where I got mad. And then I was mad
Well, because you're
movie.
Like, at this point, I'm out. And then, I mean, I guess...
And then I was like, I'm out, which is good. I like this. I appreciated this.
Not yet.
First she tries to find her phone. She's like, I'm going to find So then she's like sneaking around in black, even though it's one, it's broad daylight. Two, everyone around. She also had implied that they were watching her. So it was like, she knew that there were cameras on the compound. So I was like, I don't even know what you're doing. And then she's also like, there's all these people around that see her like going like,
oh, she's also hiding from her handler, who we also know is like a karate star, because she just seems really strong. And then, we also skipped everyone's makeover.
Oh, that was in the beginning.
We skipped the makeover sequence.
In the beginning, they did a makeover, and they also shaved everyone's pubes.
I did think all of this stuff was funny. Like, we've already sort of acknowledged that a few very funny moments have happened. But, like, I appreciate how, like, there were these moments that were, like, actively going for, like, weird and humorous at the same time. Like, I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
Literally would never allow somebody to do that. I'd be
the
like,
the rhythm
okay,
of this scene.
If
where
you
she's
want
like,
me to do it, I can do it. I'll do it.
She's like, so you're saying every celebrity? Da, 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 da. Yes. Like the
and then
the
and then you see
whistle.
little hairs falling. Yeah. And I said, what is this?
That was funny.
Yeah.
But all I know, I wanted to call that out because that's when Ayo's hair changed and I loved it again. We got bundles.
And we also heard that the other person, she was like, oh yeah, I love this wig that they put on me, but oh man, it's really tight. Kind of hurting my head. Anyway, she drops that little thing.
That's true.
And then, so then I was trying to find her phone. She's like sneaking into all these things. She finally sneaks into this one room and she finds the phones. They're all like fully like destroyed, like scratched out. Yeah. Like every single one of them is destroyed. And then we, the audience, see the body stuffed in the corner, but I guess she doesn't see that.
The beheaded body stuffed in the corner. I was like, what is that?
And so then she leaves out of there and they're like, hey, what's going on? And she's like, I'm out.
Yes.
I'm out. I'm done. I'm leaving.
And let me tell you, ain't no way no damn puppet show is going to keep me at this place. Ain't no way.
Well, he did say, okay, I guess that's the justification. We have this long sequence to get to the compound to show just how truly deep into the middle of nowhere they are. Because then he was like, well, no, you have to wait. Like, and she was like, I'll wait outside. And so she was like, oh, the bus is coming in 45 minutes. And then they have the little cute girl that we met at dinner. She should have known something was wrong because she was like, I thought you were going to watch the show with me. And then they get to the puppet show and then baby girl's gone. So I was like, which is it?
She ain't there. She ain't there.
Which is it?
She's not there. Ain't no kids there. Well, no other kids were there, right? They were doing it? I don't know. Nope. I'm leaving. I'm out.
To stay for 45 more minutes.
And the tractor gonna get me 10 miles and I gotta walk the other 40. I'm gonna walk the other 40. Get me 10 miles away. Get this the only vehicle? Get me 10 miles away. I'm going to get 10 miles away. I ain't going to be here no more. Y'all impaling people disappearing.
That's true.
Where my phone at? See?
She does ask, where is Bill? Where is the little influencer girl? And they make up these terrible.
The thing that I didn't understand is while she's saying things like people have disappeared, all this weird stuff, she doesn't say, hey, they destroyed our phones. Like, she doesn't tell the other people that they full up just destroyed their phones.
Yeah.
Like, that's a huge red flag. Crazy. Anyway, but yeah, so then they do this puppet show, and then immediately the puppet show is about Billie Holiday, and I was like, well, this puppet show is clearly about reporters mean to Billie Holiday. Why are you not all like, oh, we about to get murked? Like,
that's y'all. It's clearly y'all. Y'all are rats.
At that point, I would have been like, I'm looking for a weapon and an exit. That's what it's happening right now.
And that's
now.
When we finally see somebody actually looking for a weapon was the paparazzi lady, which now that we're talking about it, I'm like, she didn't have much of a function most of the movie besides looking for a shank. I didn't get why she was actually there.
Yeah. And then she never wound up even getting the shank.
Yeah.
She sure didn't.
She wasn't even close to it.
No, she sure didn't. Amber was right next to her. Bop, bop, bop. Bop, 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 bop. It's too much. Also, my homegirl was in the chair, was in the beanbag.
She was on a beanbag, and then she realized, oh, I was like, wait a minute, my beanbag is moving. Oh, it's because this missing woman
is alive.
Her face is all swollen.
Yeah, I was like, how does she casually wake up from her coma, I guess? Right at the end of the thing. Because, like, again, Billie Holiday's puppet. Mind you, guys, we forgot to mention that everyone in the puppet show was a rat with, I think, herpes.
Right.
Because they had bumps and ghouls and whatever everywhere. Right. But Billie Holiday's thing was actively smoking. So I was like, I was like, there has to be drugs in the smoke, right? But no, it was that there was a live body in Ayo's beanbag chair.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, and then this is where they just were like, yeah, you guys all suck because you've all criticized me at some point. And just like Julius Caesar, when he got kidnapped by pirates, they didn't realize that he was a god and they were all little peasants. And so he went and crucified them all. And now I'm going to kill you all. And they start killing them all. Somehow Ayo escapes through the window. Oh, I guess not somehow. We know
now.
How.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Io escapes through the window. She doesn't question it though, which is
they also scalp baby girl, like her wig, her they
scalp pull her wig. Her.
They pull her forehead off, and I'm like, wait, what? How tight was the sewing?
It's just hanging there. It's just hanging. Just her, just her.
Yeah.
Oof. And then she stabs the lady like 86 times. I'm like, babe, I think you're done. You can stop. You can stop. Yo.
And then Io, for some reason, goes into a house, a museum.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that.
I think she's probably just trying to call the police or find help.
Oh, okay.
I ain't going in any kind of enclosed anything. Any kind, unless it's on wheels and I can drive out. I ain't going in those. And then she just keep running up the stairs. She kept going upstairs.
And I said, babe, what?
Yeah. Eventually you're going to get caught.
I was like, babe. And then she did.
Yeah, then she did. There's a fight off screen that we don't see. And then opens up and she lost that fight. And I was like, oh, that was an interesting directorial move. Cause I was like, I fully expected her to win that fight and she did not.
So I was like, oh, baby girl's dead. And then I was like, oh, she's not.
And she's awake and there's some ritual thing that they're doing. And then this black girl who we all know is this black woman who is definitely not good and definitely not on her side. Randomly, for no reason whatsoever, is like cutting her loose. And I was like, this is suspicious.
Okay, well,
as hell.
It did feel like a big Kool-Aid moment. Like everyone had champagne. We saw like when I was like running upstairs.
Yeah,
she saw cyanide.
She saw like 85 bottles of cyanide. So I'm like, okay, cool. They're all going to like have a suicide ritual thing. And then they're also clearly forcibly making. So also nobody else died, right? Like the scalp lady and her boss are still alive at this champagne toast. And then, the black girl's like, oh, by the way, sis, I got you. And she's like, here are the exact directions to do really loudly.
Push me. All right. So then Io escapes and there's a little chase. She jumps over the fence, gets her hand cut by some barbed wire. She three finger pokes the sycophant who's outside and drives away. And then we get 6 months later.
It was a ninja callback to her platonic friend, Sushi Date, which I love.
That's right. Yes.
Did like that little cute.
And then we get 6 months later. She's
2 years later.
2 years later, sorry. John Malkovich is in jail. She has a book about her experience, of course. That's a bestseller. And none of the other levelists were found. They're presumed dead because of Io's account. And now she gets to this interview, this final interview with John Malkovich, in which he reveals that they had planned for her to escape that whole time so that she could write the book and spread their ideology.
Spread the gospel, apparently, baby.
It's working. Yeah. Okay.
Well, and we did see that he actually did murder everyone else. So he did intend to murder everyone. I think my biggest gripe was that we didn't get to learn how everyone hurt him until this very, very final monologue. So it's like the whole time we didn't know why he was murdering everyone until
That's what I'm saying. Like, it was like when he starts hauling off and killing everybody, you're just going, I guess it's because they said something bad about him, but we don't know what it is, exactly what it was. And it's just frustrating to see.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it didn't really, I mean, we eventually hear her say what the specific things were, but why did these there must have been other people who have said bad things about you before, or I don't know. It was just like a weird thing to like feel so mad at random journalists.
These five people.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? It's funny. As we were talking, I was like, oh, this is basically, and then there were none. And I guess I don't know when Agatha Christie tells you why they all wronged the guy that's murdering all of them. But I feel like we do know at some point, because then they're even scared about when am I going to die next kind of thing. So I guess we never got the why he was murdering everyone.
And they also didn't realize it was even happening. Right. Like the people who were murdered like, I guess not until maybe that play, like, right. didn't really realize, like, and two of them were murdered before they understood what was happening.
Yeah, like, even if it was just, like, in that first scene when we find out about the on the bus or whatever, when we find out about the one guy who, like, has a vendetta, like, if we just briefly heard, like, and didn't you say this on your TikTok live or whatever, like, just even just little stuff like that, like, that would have gone a long way for me. That's fine.
Or like, yeah, mm-hmm. like, I'm surprised I'm here because XYZ. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd have been cute. That'd have been cute.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
They kept cutting back to that woman's expanding tongue. And I was like, y'all,
it was gross. Okay, that was the sick part. That was a gross part. And then her eye juice got in his eye.
Yes. That's so nasty.
Yeah, I feel like ultimately it does feel like this movie is kind of forgettable, I guess. Like, there wasn't like a lot of like wow moments or yeah, anything that really sticks. And then like, because also like the cult is like, what? I still don't really understand like what it's just kind of like, it feels a little generic. And even this whole idea of like, oh, creative sides should like, I don't know. I was just like what? Like, I don't think that the writer director thinks that he hates critics or anything like that. Or like critics are destroying the world. Like I get, you know what I mean? Like it just felt like the death part was like this petty thing that had nothing to do with the actual cult part. Does that make sense? But maybe it was all a part of the.
It does. No, because that's the thing too, is because it's not that it. Because I imagine that it on paper, it probably doesn't have nothing to do with it, but it feels like it has so little to do with it, or like what the connection actually is feels thin, you know? Like, because it's like, because, mm-hmm. because like they criticize the art, right? Right. So,
yeah.
They're critical of the right brain exploits. And so those criticizers are being cut down, right? Is the only way in which I feel like it connects. But it's not the same thing as like the killing of them doesn't mark the end of the left brain leadership. You know what I mean? Like it's not, it doesn't do anything like that. It's just it's just an event that happens in order to spread the word of the cult.
Right.
I think.
Which was what the, I guess like maybe that's the part that's missing is like, what is the cult's mission? I mean, I know that obviously the goal is to spread the mission, but like, what is the mission? Cause I guess when you asked that, I was like, oh, I guess this could have been at a White Lotus, right? And had a 5-star pamper treatment and it still would have worked out. Like in theory, the cult isn't fully necessary except for the button of, now they're spreading my word or my work because you made this book. So poo poo on you. But yeah, I guess we don't really fully know what they're spreading, or if we do, it was such a one line thing. It wasn't clear for the desire of the cult.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also don't really understand. Like, I understand the idea that like a book sensationalizing this would make people curious and therefore you would get some crazy people who would join this thing. But like the idea that this is like some infectious thing that's going to be a huge problem, like I just don't buy it. I was just like, well, I don't know. It's just like kind of your run-of-the-mill cult and there was nothing about the book that would make like a sane person feel like when they were, even when they were saying like some people think like there, some people are on his side and they're like, why? Like, how are they on his side?
Who?
Like, and they're on his side because they think like we should be able to murder people who talk bad about us. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, what is
I'm gonna say this though. At the end, when the Good Morning America woman had the pearl on her around her neck, I was like, this is what's happening right now. It's the same thing that's happening right now. It's swapping Good Morning America for, I mean, it could even just be Good Morning America, but just swap it in for a Fox News somebody and who actively believes in a QAnon thing, and that's just what's happening. That's just what
right.
That's just what's actually happening. So don't know. I mean, they probably ain't gonna get everybody, but
I kind of wish there was more of that though, because that's more insidious and more dangerous. Like the idea that people are buying into, like, that there's some huge government conspiracy and therefore we have to like kill elected officials, or you know what I mean? Like, that feels like more of a than like, I don't even know what this is. Like, because ultimately, like, they were just killing these people because this one person was like, I don't know, they said something bad about me 30 years ago, you know? And then what the actual cult's mission is just seems to be just to be worshiping their cult leader.
Yeah.
Like most cults, I guess. Anyway, but I didn't think it was that. Like 40% feels like crazy. Like 40%, I was like, for context, Jurassic World Rebirth is 51%.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Right, okay. Yeah, you like that. But
I don't know. That makes sense to me. You know what I'm saying? Because there was dinosaurs in that one. And that one had dinosaurs in it. Remember they had the dinosaurs? And they had Scarlett Johansson's. And they had and they was on the island. Remember that?
Yeah.
40% is aggressive, I agree, but I think it's more so because it's just like, wait, you set me up to think that I was gonna be scared. And I wasn't really scared. But then it feels like you're doing a commentary on celebrity, but I don't really know what the takeaway is, besides people with power can maybe get away with murder, but also cannot because he went to jail. And then it's just like,
right, exactly. Like, what was this exactly?
Yeah. What was I supposed to take from this besides a pretty moody movie and pretty hair?
Right. That's fair.
But the acting was great. I did think I believed everyone's character. I guess to James's point, it would have been nice if other characters were asking questions at least once besides Ayo's.
Right.
Dog. You can't have this many questions. That early in the movie, you have that many questions and they don't even start to ask them until several scenes late. Nah.
I guess also because it is a black woman, I'm just like, babe, come on.
Right.
Why does a celebrity who would never know your name or why? I would be asking.
I'll bet you that scene where she says she's leaving wasn't in the script. And then Io read it and she was like, well, I at least have to try to leave.
Like bags packed, ready to go.
Right. This is also another one of those movies where it's so hard because there are times where we've talked about on this podcast, like, we love it when black actors just get to be in a movie and it's not about their race, and we don't have to necessarily like talk about like, well, what does it mean for a black woman to be in this space? It's just like, hey, like, can't we just get to do the thing? But like, I guess the setup of this was kind of like, I don't know. I think it's weird that nobody's talking about, like, no one here is talking about race. And also the fact that at the end, the puppet show, the story he chose to tell was Billie Holiday. I was like, wait a minute. This dude's comparing himself to Billie Holiday. Like, it's so different. Like,
yeah.
The criticisms, I was just like, this is not the same. It's just not. And yet he got to make the comparison without any critique or like any person in the movie getting to say like, hold up, white man, like you being criticized for your music or whatever it was that you were criticized for has nothing to do with this black woman in the civil rights era who was also queer. Like, it's just like, it's just such a different thing.
Right.
And so I was a little bit upset.
Well, also his main song that we learn about, like, his history over the past decades or whatever, was like a parody of, like, was it a parody of Strange Fruit? Or it was something, like, it was a wordplay. Oh. It definitely was like, I was like, this feels like a iconic black person something.
Interesting. I missed that, but I'm sure. Yeah, so anyway, I just thought that was interesting. All right, well, it's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we liked it, but whether or not it helps, you know, the cause of leading black actors in Hollywood. So if it fully helps that cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helps that cause, we give it a white palm. And if it doesn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything.
That's our rating system. Lovely rating symbols. I love that.
Yeah. So on the the count of three, we'll all rate our ratings for Opus. Remember, it's about whether or not it helps the cause of leading Black actors in Hollywood. Okay. Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. All right. Two black fists and one white palm. It's interesting. I was struggling. That I feel like that's right. I'll just say that. I feel like that's right.
Perfect. Accurate.
I was struggling because this movie made like $0.
That's why.
But I respect you for that. I think we're in this weird period of time where it doesn't matter how, like, it's weird. Like, I actually don't think that it will affect Ayo's career
at all.
Right? That this movie didn't do financially well. And yet I think it still helps that she got to say that she led a movie, because this is the first movie where she was the lead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. She's in Bottom. She co-led that. She's been in other movies where she's been like a supporting character, but like this was the movie where she was the lead. And so it's almost like, oh, we get to get that out the way. If that makes sense.
I also don't think, like, similarly, the way we talk about box office typically is like that people will look at the box office success of a movie and say like, oh, we can't do this again because the box office didn't do well. But I don't think that what this did at the box office is going to necessarily rest on her shoulders in that same way. So it may not even affect how people like this. Obviously isn't going to her star is shining in a different way anyway, but like it probably won't have a negative effect even in that way. Like to really like, oh, well, oof, Opus didn't do well, so we can't X, Y, Z or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's why I liked it. Why I gave it a black fist, because I almost gave it nothing, was that like I do just like when people of color get to be people of color, but the story is not about them being a person of color.
Right.
So it like in theory, Ayo's character could have been a blonde white woman and the story would have not changed at all. So I actually really appreciate that it wasn't about a black woman in this space. It was just happened. It was like Ayo. So I want more of that. Where all like people of color, when they're leading something, it's not always about the trauma that we have to carry.
Right.
We get it. We've seen it. but also I still would want the character to navigate in that space as a person of color. Does that make sense? So even though we're not making it a subject of the movie, I still want them to be like, no, this is some white shit. You know what I mean? So, like,
right. Right. Yeah. Still be who they are.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Which it's funny because like Blink Twice was also a movie that was similar to this that I think a lot of people necessarily didn't like, but like in comparison, which is maybe it's unfair, but it is kind of easy to compare them because they're both like movies where a black woman like goes to like some rich person's like thing that is like away and like gives up their phones and then like
mayhem happens.
Weird stuff mayhem happens. I feel like Blink Twice, and maybe I'm mistaken, James, but I feel like Blink Twice touched on it a little at time. Maybe not. I don't know. I can't remember. I guess I just felt like, oh, this is a black woman in this space. You know what it was? It was because there were the people on the island that were the servants that she felt. I felt like there was like a relationship there that felt like that was a part of her blackness, that like as a black woman, she could like, she just related to those people a little bit more. And that was a part of it. Whereas this, like, obviously, you know, I was not relating to any of these weird cult people and they're just the other. And yeah. All right. Moni, thank you so much for doing this. Where can people find you? Anything you like to plug? Social media, anything like that?
Oh boy. I'm always looking for opportunities to be a professional plus one. So if you have a work trip coming up and you know, you just have a spare room or a spare bed and you want to give somebody a free vacation, I would love to help you and your job with that. Beyond that, I also host a monthly improv show in LA, the last Sunday of every month. So if you're ever in LA, the last Sunday of the month, please come check us out. The show's called Who All Gonna Be There. And follow me on all social media at Mo Moni Less Probs. Yay.
Hell yeah. You can follow us at Black Man Podcast on Instagram and Threads. And we we have a website, blackmanpodcast.com, where we have links to our Patreon and our Red Circle. We do bonus episodes every other week. Helps keep this podcast free. So thank you so much for subscribing to that, the people who do. And if, you know, you want to listen to bonus content, different movies. So we just reviewed Heads of State on there. That's the new Amazon Prime movie with Idris Elba and John Cena. You can follow me at John Braylock. I'm on a Herald team called, what is my team called? Dance Club Remix. I always want to say my old team's name. Yeah, that's about it. James?
You can follow me at Rule of Three Inc. RuleOfThreeInc.com is the website. Thank you.
Hey. Sweet.
This also made me realize that I've never seen Being John Malkovich.
I still haven't seen it either.
That's a fun one. That's a fun one. Go watch that, guys. Okay. That's a fun one.
I think at this point, I've heard so much about it and have built it up in my mind as already being incredible that I'm nervous that I'll see it and not like it.
I didn't use the word incredible. I said fun.
I'm saying now at this point, now it's, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Dip those expectations down to just fun. And you'll be good.
I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can.
All right. All right, man. No, I'm just kidding. We will see you all next week. Peace.
Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.